Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Here we go. And a leper came to him, beseeching him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And he sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to the people." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today concerning, things that we need to be touched by in terms of you. We ask that you would bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I'm not going to talk about today, but you notice that this leper is so much like us. Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody," and guess what he did? He did the exact opposite of what Jesus said. And I noticed that that's the way we are a lot of the time. We do the exact opposite of what he says. "He touched me." That's what a leper somewhere in Galilee said about 2,000 years ago. One day this man noticed some blotches on his skin, then came some sores, and then the sores got worse. And you begin to cover things like that with clothing. He did. You don't let other people see things like that. So he didn't. Especially as the sores got worse, and then feeling in his hands and feet began to disappear. Lepers put their hands in fire and feel nothing. When he could no longer hide his sores, when he had someone look at them, the decision which he had avoided like the plague was made for him. He must go off and live in a cave by himself alone. No one would ever touch him again. Then one day Jesus touched him, and that was unpredictable. The lepers had bells that they had to carry. Law required that lepers leave when other people were near to avoid touch. That's how you got the dreaded disease, through contact and touch, and Jesus touched the leper. The leper was an outsider. It happened gradually at first. When the sores got worse, he began to discover there wasn't much feeling in his hands and his feet. And increasingly, things which should have caused pain caused him no pain. And he wondered what was happening. The time came when he could hide it no longer. He spilled things. He bumped into things. He found himself profoundly ill at ease. Something was happening to him. Something terrible. And he didn't understand it. He couldn't hide it any longer. And then somebody said the dread word, leprosy. He had feared it for some time, but he had dared to speak the word. Then someone who loved him said, "You can't stay here anymore. For if you touch us or we touch you, we too could get leprosy. Go away to a cave outside the town." And he thought to himself, "You mean that no one will ever touch me again?" He thought to himself, "I would rather die." Jesus touched him. God does that kind of thing to people. Jesus, when he came, reached out and touched a leper. We don't even know the leper's name. This leper from Galilee, as he approached Jesus and the apostles, he probably rang his bell. It was the law that when you were a leper, you rang a bell so people would move away from you, so people would leave, and people would give you a wide pass. So he probably rang his bell as he approached Jesus, as he had to do it by law. And they all moved away from him except for Jesus. Peter, James, and John, they probably cried out, "Jesus, get away. Be careful now. He's a leper. Jesus, come with us." But Jesus paid them no heed. I expect they may have gotten kind of demanding, "Jesus, it's a leper. Don't you know what it is? It's a leper." And notice They don't say, he's a leper. It's a leper. But Jesus stood his ground, and the man came to where he was, and Jesus touched him. It was Jesus' way. He had touched so many in so many ways. He touched the untouchables, the blind. They were untouchables. After all, they were sick. People didn't know how to deal with sickness. If you were blind, then there must be something wrong with you. But Jesus took mud. He rubbed it on the eyes of the blind. Then they could see. He touched them. The deaf were untouchables as well. How could they go deaf? It must be some kind of punishment, people would say. They must have done something terrible. They can't hear. It must be something from the gods. And Jesus reached out and cupped his hands over the ears of the deaf and said, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And Jesus touched the lame. These untouchables came dragging their legs, pulling their crutches on the arms of friend, lowered from roofs. Jesus touched the lame. But most of all, most important of all, he touched the lepers. And that's how you got leprosy. That's how it was communicated, one person to another, by touch. The bell rang, everybody moved away, except Jesus. Jesus touched him. Jesus touched the untouchables. It was his way. He touched those who felt they were unforgiven. People like Matthew, he had made his decision. He had compromised with Rome. He had joined the system of the Roman government. Jews were a conquered people. You got to make the best of it, he said, and you got to do the best you can under bad circumstances. Matthew was a Jew. He sold out to Rome. He said, I'll collect taxes from my fellow Jews for the Romans. I'll line my pockets when I do that. When you worked as a tax collector for the Romans, you could keep whatever you got over. You had to pay the Romans, and so he lined his pockets. He became wealthy, and the people, the Jews, said, Matthew, you're an outsider. You're no good. And Matthew said, yeah, you're right, until Jesus came and said, follow me. Until Jesus came and said, Levi, I want to go to your house. I want to eat with you. And the people said, he eats and drinks with sinners and outcasts and outsiders. And Jesus said, yes, that is why I have come. I didn't come for the good folk, not the righteous ones. I came for the outsiders. Jesus touched Matthew. He also touched Peter. Have you ever had a friend turn on you and deny you? Have you ever had someone in your family or some close friend suddenly take some turn in the road that really hurt you? Jesus had that with Peter. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll always follow you. Even if the other guys, they don't follow you, I'll follow you. You can count on me. Then Jesus said, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. And three times that night, Peter said, I don't know the man. In fact, the third time, he said it with a curse. And when asked by a girl at the fire if he knew Jesus, all the Bible says is that Jesus turned and looked at Peter when he heard that third one. To turn your back on a friend in tough times, in rough waters, when it is significant that you take a stand, Jesus looked at Peter at that moment of denial. Peter must have died on the inside at that moment, but Jesus touched Peter after the resurrection. One morning by a campfire, Jesus touched Peter. Whores knew that touch too. Prostitutes. Read with me John chapter 7, verse 53-11. Here we go. They went each to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and placed her in the midst. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now the law of Moses commanded us to stone such. What do you say about her?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the eldest. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus looked up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." You know, the profound grace of this passage is so strong that this scripture is not in all of the old ancient manuscripts and in some of our Bibles that are translated today. Jesus touched a prostitute. The grace of God is so powerful that it reaches the people the church denies. The touch of Jesus touches a woman, an adulteress, a prostitute, forgives her, and does not judge her. Mary Magdalene knew the touch of Jesus also. It strongly suggested that Mary was a prostitute used by men who used men for a price for her body. Whether that's true or not, we don't know for sure, but Jesus, in spite of all the laughter and carrying on, in spite of all the suggestions, in spite of all the innuendos and gossip concerning her and him, Jesus reached out and touched Mary Magdalene, an unforgiven outsider. He touched her. He touched them all, the multitude of misfits. He touched them one at a time. He touched them in crowds. He touched them with his word. He touched them with his healing. He touched them with his voice. And he touched them with his hand. He touched the little children. You know, the apostle said one time, "Send them away. They're noisy and they clutter up what we're trying to do here. They're not very important. They're just little." And Jesus said, "Let them come to me." Then he put his hand on a little girl's head and stroked her hair. And he put his arm around a little boy and made him feel 10 feet tall. They were outsiders. You see, children a lot of times are on the margins. They were little nobodies. That's why Jesus touched them. It was his way. For a multitude of lepers, prostitutes, outcasts, misfits, Jesus came to earth to establish a kingdom of which all these people, and you and I as well, are a part. He touched people. Jesus had a supreme awareness of people. He touched people because he knew where people were. He identified with them. He understood them. He loved them unconditionally. He had a deep and wise understanding and compassion for people, suffering with people by being aware of the place where they live. Jesus was aware of all people, especially the misfits. He was filled with compassion for the leper in us all. The leper in you, which separates you from others, from the world. You know, everywhere he found people who were outsiders, outcasts, misfits, prostitutes, tax collectors, sinners, lepers, or whatever, he reached out and he touched these people. And he touches people today as well. And he is probably going to touch someone here today. He's going to touch us here today because that is the medicine that heals people. The importance of touch. You know, people need to be touched. Physically touched. Hospitalized patients feel like outsiders, prisoners, outcasts, lepers. If you've ever been in the hospital, you can know that kind of feeling. They need to be touched. If you've ever been around mentally retarded people for very long, or the disabled, or the aged. You see, the aged are on the margins too. If you're watching, you come to realize that touch is very important. If you've ever been a teacher of small children, you know the need in them to be touched. There is something in each of us that needs that personal touch, the touch of Jesus, that touch of healing presence. So today we come together seeking the touch of Jesus on our lives and the touch of someone close to us. In order for us to experience the touch of Jesus, we need to remember that we are the body of Christ. We are his hands and his feet. And it is us who gives that touch of Jesus. As we come here today, we have a lot of different people here. What is your leprosy? In what way are you a leper? Have you a deep-seated pain over the loss of a loved one or a friend? Is it a broken relationship, like in your marriage or a divorce or something like that? Do you have a child that has grieved you because of rebellion or waywardness, has been a prodigal? Do you have a parent or an in-law that is a painful relationship at best? What is your leprosy? Is it a brother or sister in trouble or with a great need in which you feel helpless? What is the leprosy in your life? A business problem? Could be finances? A disease like cancer or arthritis or diabetes or some other physical condition? Is it alcoholism or drug addiction or a mental disorder? Is your leprosy inferiority, lack of self-worth? Does it really matter what we name our leprosy? That thing in our lives in which we kind of ring a bell to keep people away from us in that area, especially. The thing that's embarrassing to us, or maybe humiliating to us, that we dare not even think about, let alone talk to other people about, and we just keep it all to ourselves, and we kind of ring our bell so we stay away from people. Jesus comes to us and touches us. Do you need for him to touch you again today? Once more, maybe the first time, the touch of Jesus. It actually comes through us as the body of Christ. You know, there are lots of outsiders, outcasts, lepers, lame, blind, deaf people, prostitutes, untouchables, misfits, and children, and old people. And they are all around us. In fact, they are among us today. People like you and me, people who need to be touched by Jesus. Or by you. Won't you touch them? You know, if you don't, who will? For you are the body of Christ. There is leprosy in all of us that needs that healing touch at times. And today, as we take communion together and we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, let the Lord Jesus touch you through this sacrament.